Salut. The way that nature intended it.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to, of course, Don't Panic, It's Organic. So here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. No drinking, no smoking. You can hold hands. No heavy vehicle driving either. This one is called A Shift in Consciousness. That's actually the name of the album, and this is track one. I think we're doing okay. I can't tell. I have to figure out how to get my little, where we can talk on this type thing up here. Maybe Mr. Engineer can type me something and maybe it'll come up and I'll fucking catch it. Oh, there it is. Oh, got it. Since I can't hear my voice, I can't tell if I'm coming across nice, but that's your area. Of course, the music is wonderful. We're going to work on getting it together so it comes through the computer rather than being taped through the speakers and back into the computer. But you should have your headphones on. Okay, so my name's Andy Lopez. I'm putting this in the background, see? That should be good. Let me know if you can hear me or put it up a little more. So I have a few songs I'll be playing today at the same time doing my show. Today's show is how to get your garden ready for spring. So I'll be talking about that. By the way, I think we have a Skype number that people can call. I didn't write it down here, so Mr. Engineer is going to now type the Skype number because people want to, Deborah says I should use my Skype number, but I don't think that's right because if they call my Skype number, then, you know, it's going to be calling me and I have to interrupt the show, go talk to her, whoever. Oh, there we go. But if they call the, BBS radio Skype number, then you'll pipe it right in. So it's BBS radio PR. Of course, you can always call the phone number. The actual phone number is 530-636-6080. That's the phone number you call for to get into the show, the Skype number. Either way, you'll get it here. The BBS Radio PR or the 530-636-6080 number. And there's a toll-free number in North America, which is 888-627-6008. Gee, I had that one already. That was a toll-free number. Right. There's also a direct line if you dig direct lines. That's 323-744-4831. And of course, another way you can communicate with me is email andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. By now, you should know how to spell it. If you don't, you should be ashamed of yourself. Visit my website, invisiblegardener.com. Click on radio show and follow the link for the different shows I'm doing. But if you're already listening to the show, you must have already done that. Okay? But a lot of people, what I tell people is subscribe, get to my podcast. I have a free podcast. That's this one right here. It's also available on iTunes and lots of other places. Podcast happens to happen, you know. And you know how podcasts work. That way you can get into your computer. You can get it into your whatever listening device you have, right? iPad, iPod, and whatever else. You can subscribe right from the bbsradio.com page. Or you can go to my website. If you go to my website, you know, you might want to look at the membership setup I have there for you, because I have a lifetime membership that people can. I've been doing that forever as a consultant. You can pay me a lot of money for my time, or you can just join, and you get access to me through the radio show, through email, through the website. On the website, I have over 22 books, and the latest book is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. I have two versions of it. One's the black and white version and the color version. I made the color version because it's such a. My daughter-in-law, Cindy Berry, does the artwork, and it's absolutely amazing. But because it's in color, it sells for $100. The thing is that the black and white version sells for $20. It only costs you about $8, $9, $10 to do. But the same size, but in color, it's cost me close to $40, or a little more than $40. So when you put it in the up for sale, you know, on the market like Amazon, whatever, they have their system, and so it's selling. One place is for $400. You do not have to buy it for $400, okay? I mean, if you do Amazon search, you'll find Don't Panic, It's Organic. You do Don't Panic, It's Organic, Andy Lopez, right? Invisible Gardener. There's another book called Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's a cooking book. You don't want that one. Okay? But, it turns out that people can, they're called third-party sellers. They can, say, well, this is the value of this book, so we're going to put it up for sale. If you want to buy it, it's up to you. And they do it. If somebody buys it, then they order it from the distributor for the price that they get it at. See, that's how they make their money. But you don't need to pay that $400. Just look at it. You see the color. It'll say, I have to go up and change it, so it'll say color version and black and white version. It's the same name right now. But one is obviously $20, and the other one will say $51 because it's on sale now through Amazon. But that's a higher price. So the black and white version is $20, okay, and the color version is, I sell it for $50 on my website. And what I do now, what I do with it, see, is I have a contest, and the contest is basically I give the color version of the book away. Actually, what I do is I give the color version and the black and white version. What you should be doing with the color version is you wear gloves, you deal it, and you actually put a cover on it and protect it, so you pass it down to your family, because it's got great information, but the artwork is just magical, okay? So once a month, I give away the color version along with the black and white version so you can use. My first book, it's called Natural Pest Control, Alternatives to Chemicals for the Home and Garden. The first book, most people have it. You can look at their book and you can tell they've been using it. Anyway, I have all this stuff for members, so take a look, you know. Okay, so this is called A Shift in Consciousness. I hope you like it. This one's called A Shift in Consciousness, because that's what it does. It's the tunes and the energy is meant to kick your consciousness to the next level up, not down. So for it to be effective, ideally you should either download the song into your system, right? And then play it back through your headphones. Get it? You can also take the speakers out into the garden. Play to the trees, play to the birds, the flowers and the bees. Here we go. Okay, so that's why it's a good idea to get a subscription to this, because I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing the radio show and the music. I started writing my own music so I could put it in the background, you know, put it talking between it and back and forth. I actually started doing radio. I was in Armed Forces Radio Network in the service. I didn't write my own music then, but I played a lot of good stuff. I would get emails, you know, that how can we listen to your stuff. So subscribe to my, it's called Inner Gardening Music, $2 a month. And you, when I do a song, I put it up there and you get it in your little podcast. You can listen to it and use it. Like right now, if you're listening to it through the speakers and you have a headphone, plug the headphone in. So next week is I'm doing my Earth Day special. Right day after that will be Earth Day. The 2-hour special. So that during that day, I'm giving away my color version of my book plus a black and white version, free lifetime membership. That means you'll get access to all 20 books that I've already written. One of them is called Dances with Ants. That's what the title of the my first show next week was called, Dances with Ants. And then the second week I'm having Earth Fort, F-O-R-T. Yes. By the way, on the 28th of this month, I have AmigoBob'sOrganics.com. The folks from AmigoBob'sOrganics.com are going to be on. I've been using their product for about as long as I've been in business. That's a long time. This is my Latin in me coming out. Hola, ve, chico, mamo, andres. Want to take off your clothes and dance around in the forest. By now, if you haven't had a shift in consciousness, you probably never will. Sorry. Can't help it, right? Oh, before the show is over, you're going to wish that you did fasten your seatbelt. I can keep this up all day. I decided to do it. Instead of a 30-minute long song, because I do that sometimes, I'm just going to make this another few seconds and it'll be over with. So it's only 16 minutes long. I can't do a 4-minute version of it. Okay, so that's called A Shift in Consciousness. That's the actual name of the song, but it's also the name of the album, A Shift in Consciousness. And this is track one, right? There's five, six tracks in this one. This is track one, actual. So what I do is at first, so sometimes I write a song, I think, oh, Shift in Consciousness, that's a good name. Oh, I'll make that the album, see? And so that's what I did with this one. And this one's called A Shift in Consciousness from the album Shift in Consciousness, track one. This next one is called, by the way, I haven't forgotten that I'm going to be talking about what to do in a garden. This is what you do in the garden. You get the music going. That's why it's called inner gardening. Ideally, you're supposed to take this music out there. You start to play it in your garden. You start to wake him up. Everybody wakes up. They go, oh, why are we dancing? What are we doing? The microbes are dancing. The energy of the trees and the plants. What do you think I was talking about? This was called Mental Glue. Mental, like not metal, but mental, M-E-N-T-A-L, Mental Glue. It uses a series of Tibetan bowls. You can hear it. There's another one. Just have to relax and go with the flow. If it starts to bother you, just walk away. Well, I can't, you can turn the volume down, I suppose. But otherwise, just relax. Breathe in with it normally. And let it go where it's supposed to go. This song is by an all of you. Base mineral. I have a hard time with that word. Basically means two different sources of music frequencies going to different parts of your brains. Your right what comes in your left ear is going to affect your right brain. What comes into your right ear is affecting the left hemisphere of your brain. I know this stuff. That's the heart pumping blood. So it affects your heart, yep. So I just put it in the background, see? Normally, all the music that I do the frequencies in an unconscious way. That means I don't want you to actually know you're listening to it. But lately, I started to say, well, what the heck? So these are very conscious, in-your-face stuff that you have to just gradually work your way into. But most of my songs are that you don't even know you're listening to it. Your body is the one that listens to it. So I'm going to tell you a couple of things about what you should be doing to get your garden ready for spring. If you if you want to talk to me, feel free to call me or email me, because I get my emails right away. A little thing goes ding ding, and I look at the email. And if you want to go on Skype and talk to me, feel free to do so. It could be about gardening, could be about this, because I'm really just here to have fun with you all. I've been doing gardening shows almost, I can't say all my life, since the 70. That's a good 48 years. Yeah, wow. I don't know why I do it. I don't get paid enough for this. Okay, dokie. So, what you should be doing in your garden depends a lot where you're living. I used to go to school in Boulder, Colorado, and I would say I'm probably still very cold there. It depends on what part of Boulder I lived in, but I kind of remember it still was a lot of snow, so you really couldn't do very much other than think about what you're going to be growing. Or if you were like me, I actually did a lot indoors. So we had a pool and it was fenced in. So why not make it your unique environment, since the pool was heated? I grew stuff all around the pool. Some things you can't grow year round unless you add more light to it and light source, because what you can grow depends on a variety of things. One of them is light, how much light the plants get. The other one is the temperature of the soil, how cold it is, both of which you can control, because you can grow in a greenhouse. One of the things I did was to actually take advantage of what had the greenhouse next to the house, so that it was easy enough to heat. But what I did was to make it self-heating, where it heats itself, is that the frame of the greenhouse had copper tubing running through it, right? And water would go in it, and the heat of the sun would heat the water and the copper tubing, which would automatically rotate by itself from the cold to the hot. It would circulate, see, all the way through, all by itself. You do that on the floor too, so the greenhouse had they use pallets, and in the pallets you run these PVC doesn't do it, see, right? The copper tubing is perfect for it. You can also do other types that would generate the heat. See, that's the secret. The key is to generate heat. I'm not too crazy about, I suppose you can get steel, any type of metal that's safe that doesn't erode eventually, figure out a way to, but that's what they have now, is giant heat pads. You have heat pads for soil, right? Soil heat pads, you put it under to. Because even here in Malibu, it's still too cold to start peppers, for example. See, you have to use a soil heat pad. But the idea was, in the garden, I would have an environment in the greenhouse that And I have some LED, I didn't have LED lights, I have indoor grow lights. They're regular lights that you can control for growing. And some, there are some form of LED lights in those days that you could use. You know, they're the standard, but they were the new types now. But so you can control the lights by giving it as much light as possible. Control the temperature by controlling, you know, the by having the either water circulate, because that's a real easy way to do it, or to have, just have a bunch of heating type pad in the floor to warm up the greenhouse. But basically, if you, for example, I've lived in Florida, well, in Miami, a homestead down by the Keys, and I'm also living here in California. So the difference is really how cold and the temperatures of everything. So when I lived in Costa Rica, year-round stuff you can grow year-round, right? And even in Florida, basically, we would say, well, we never really had, you know, all the different seasons. We would basically say we have the summertime, now spring and summertime, you know, and maybe a little winter. And the winter wasn't really much of a winter. But mainly, you can grow vegetables pretty much year-round. You can grow, I remember growing tomatoes indoor a certain time of year, and then bringing them out and keeping them going. I did the cherry tomatoes. They will grow year-round. And so I didn't even have to bring them in from the garden. They would just continue through the winter time. But it depends where you live, what you're doing. So, but the ideal steps, which are basically the same regardless of where you live, are slightly different according to, you know, what's happening where you're at. But you basically would want to first, ideally, you want to think long term. You know, you want to say, okay, these are things I do over a period of time on a regular basis, and every time, as long as I keep doing them, I would make the soil more sustainable, more alive. And sustainability is something that the more you work in something, the more it generates by itself, and the more it continues to grow, and the easier it is to continue, and the more you grow out of it, so the less you have to put it as sustainable. So that would be the ideal garden, right? When you grow chemically, farmers have to constantly either be moving on to other property, other soil, because it just destroys the soil. Whereas a sustainable organic farmer doesn't have to go anywhere, and he'll have to, once he sets the system in place, it just keeps up with it, touches it, you know, keep it going here and there. Because you don't have to do anything. It gets better and better. You have more and more earthworms. The property becomes healthier and healthier. Everything you grow from there. Your biggest problem is making sure that enough, you get the food out. It's not true what they say that we're gonna starve if you just have to try to grow things organically. It's actually the opposite. If you keep growing chemically, you won't have any place to grow anything. Then we'll starve. Okay, the soil right now is totally damaged in a lot of different ways. And I hope to cover a lot of these things for you and help you explain to you what's going on. But right now, I'm just going to stick to the garden. I'm going to give the numbers again now, which is the BBS Radio PR, or 530-636-6080. Whoever calls me, by the way, uses this, or whoever emails me and mentions the BBS radio, I will immediately send you my color version of my book, the PDF version of it. It's an ebook. Send it back to you to the email. You get it right away, immediately. So this song is called Mental Blue, and it's part of the album called A Shift in Consciousness. I also post all my music up on SoundCloud and Django. It's a radio station. And of course, I'm up on iTunes and Spotify. Yep. Okay, so that one's called Metal Blue. And let's see, which one I'm going to do next? I have it written down here. I'm trying to be very professional. And it's just, just do it right? But it is a very strange gardening show because, I've kind of evolved. I told Don and or Doug that I wanted to do something different, still do a gardening show to some extent, because that's what it's about. But for me, it's about a lot more than just gardening. I actually want to talk about issues like genetically modified organisms. I wrote one of my articles, some GMOs are good and some GMOs are bad. And people got mad at me because they don't understand what GMOs means, what the science behind it and how it works and how what the categories are of things, because it's not GMOs that we need to worry about. It's GEO, genetically engineered organisms. Okay, because look around, we are all GMO. We're all GMOs. I am not identical to my mom and dad. I am different, a genetically modified organism. And we have been if you grow at all, like I know Doug grows, Don grows too. I keep forgetting who's the engineer over here. I think it's Doug. No, wait a minute, it's Don. Okay, he's not saying anything. He's not listening. He's having a good time. But if you grow, then what I'm talking about. Okay, so let me talk to you about some more of what you have to do in the garden. So the key to having a healthy garden, having healthy plants, that you don't have to worry about the bugs eating them, because that's one of the big things in gardening, right? You want to grow your vegetables and stuff, and you don't want to be spraying stuff on them. You want to be able to have the best food you can eat, without any of the pest control that comes with it. There is a way to do this, to grow lettuce and vegetables and corn and whatever and have been wonderful without having to worry about some bugs and diseases and stuff like coming around. You only get the bugs and diseases when there's something wrong. That's the whole system. That's how it works. So the bugs come around I tell people when the food becomes and your plant becomes food for the pest, there's something wrong. And it's not food for us. And that's part of the key to it. And so the key to this whole gardening, growing thing, whether you're growing roses or whether you're growing vegetables, you have fruit trees, because there's a lot of different things you should be doing in your garden depending upon whether you have actually a farm. If you're lucky enough to be living on a farm, call me. I'd love to talk to you. Seriously, or I like to live on a farm. So if you have a farm, you're thinking of you need some help, let me know. Because that's I grew up on a farm, and my parents, I visited them in Cuba. And then I briefly visited my grandparents in Puerto Rico. I can't say happiest time, but I've had a lot of fun being on various different farms that I have visited, and that's always been my goal, is to actually do this stuff, to grow on a farm scale, because there's a lot of things you should be doing and you do year round, what you want to do is you want to get your soil alive. You want to have living soil, living microorganisms. You want the ecology of your soil to be self-sustainable so that there is no chemicals being dumped to it. And what you're doing is actually encouraging the mycelium and the energy to grow. And then everything else grows very happy, like a magical forest, right? Or a magical farm, or even your magical garden, right? The worms and the... what happened to the music? I didn't put the music down here. Hang on a second with the music. I think, did I do this one? Maybe I did. I don't remember now. I should have. That's what happens. I'm trying to talk and at the same time, you know, do things, but I think I got it here. So what we want to do is there are long-term and short-term solutions. I always talk about long-term and short-term solutions. So you actually want to look at the long-term solutions first. You know, say, okay, these are the things we need to accomplish by, say, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, right? And the overall goal of this is to grow the most amazing food, and so much food that you can just give it away to people or sell it, do whatever. Selling it's not bad, right? I've done that almost all my life, except for recently. I'm living in a condo. I don't have any room for anything. Oh God. What? Where are we? There are lots of things you can do to be preparing the soil. It depends on how you're set up, whether or not you have a raised bed, or whether you have like a quarter acre or an acre or 10 acres, 100 acres. See, so it's all a slightly different scenario. So let's assume that you're basically a typical average person with a nice backyard, okay? Maybe a quarter acre backyard. Lots of different things are on there that you can do, okay? Let's just assume that would be you. So I would hope you have raised beds and also an area in the ground to grow, because there's slightly different things that can happen in the raised beds and in the ground. You can grow more food in raised bed, 4 to 7 times more food in the same area if you used a raised bed than if you grew it on the ground. Okay. So ideally, what I've always done in my places in Florida, when I lived in Homestead, I had about, I don't know, 20 raised beds all around. We moved into this avocado grove in Homestead. I think it was 1,400 or 140 acres. It was a lot of land of avocado, but there was a section that had a little house and then kind of away from the grove, and I rented it out from the owner. I started out with 2 raised beds and then 4, then 6, and it went all the way around the house, you know. But then in other places I've lived, because I lived in Florida for a long time, I've always had the garden around the property. And even in places like Boulder, Colorado, I would tend to have things growing, try to grow things year round, dealing with whatever was going on in the environment, the stuff like that. So basically you want to get, if you do a raised bed, you want to learn how to rotate your raised bed so that once a rotation of each raised bed, you allow them to go fallow. That means you actually let them grow on their own. So there's things you can grow in there. You can do like a green cover crop. You can grow from peanuts to millet to any number of clovers, you know, any number of legumes. That you basically let it grow, and then you chop them up and turn them all over. You can add some things like the rock dust to it. Rock dust is something you want to be adding on a regular basis. You want to go, you have to remember, it's called trace minerals. Too much trace minerals and it's toxic minerals. They both start with a T, trace and toxic. So you have to do trace. You have to do a tiny amount of rock dust on a regular basis. Let me push this button, see if something did. I think this is called Outside My Body. Track 5. I'm not doing it in order of the track, by the way. It just shows how versatile I am. Doing, Mr. Engineer, are you there? You're gonna have to talk to me sooner or later. Uh-oh.
Yes, he said go.
Well, you'll tell me if there's anything wrong, right? If I can put it louder or too low, I can't tell, because I usually can tell. Okay. I do about at least one song a week. maybe more. I started doing music about 2 years ago and started doing artwork. Maybe someday I'll tell you what happened, how I did that. This is actually a music program called Acid Pro. What's so cool about it is that you can take it, it has a paintbrush effect, and it lets you paintbrush different instruments, which they call, and they call loops. You can buy them from different musicians who do different segments of stuff. And I put them together, and this is what I get. Then I add my own sounds, like the frequencies and those things to it. All good on the mountain. I kind of like this song. I don't know why. It's meant to push you out of your body. That's that energy here right there. It's okay, you won't go far. We'll bring you right back. Okay, so as I was saying, what we want to do is have healthy soil, right? Lots of different things we can do for that. You have a raised bed, you want to rotate, let the raised bed take care of itself, heal, whatever it has to do, encourage earthworms to grow in there. Gary, you want mycelium to grow in there. I'll talk to you more about the mycelium. Mycelium is an ancient being that is actually the top of the food chain. We're not on the top of the food chain. When we die and we get buried, if we're lucky enough to get buried, guess who's going to eat us? It eats everything that goes in the ground, so it's the world's first and best gardener, okay? Yeah, so there, I told you already, right? Okay, what was I doing? Okay, so you want to, so in the raised bed, you want to have at least enough raised beds. You allow one of them every year or every season. It depends on the number of raised beds, you know, to, I've grown peanuts in it. You can grow any kind of anything in there, from sunflowers to whatever you want to grow. It's like a legume that will encourage the root systems to go in there, and the mycelium will not. Then if you turn it over and you add some rock dust, you add a little bit of animal manure because you want to have the specific microbe that they have. It's very difficult to have a really good healthy soil if it's sterile of any living things, and one of the ways you normally get these things is the manure of these animals. You get it? So you're one of the reasons why you do compost is not because we're recycling. That's just one of the added benefits. The reason why we do it is we're imitating Mother Nature, because we understand Mother Nature is not capable of doing these things anymore on our properties. When was the last time some animal came and died at your back place and decomposed and turned everything over? Or some last time a herd of animals came through and poo-pooed every place and did stuff? These are things that you need to, I've learned about. I figured it out myself. I said, trace minerals deficiency. So that's a key to everything. So That's how you can control diseases. It's better to control this disease and prevent it, right, than to try to eliminate it once it's there. Okay, see what I'm saying, right? Okay, so in the garden, in your soil, you want to have living organisms and have a plentiful of trace minerals so the two can get together. And what happens is that the microbes eat the minerals. One of the things that when you make the compost, you want to make compost with a combination of, try to imitate nature and how she makes compost and what goes into the compost. So the reason why I add rock dust and I have a variety of different sources is because one rock dust, for example, is called Agri-Min. It comes from Southern California, and it comes from a place that, if you've ever been down to Southern California, I think it's over by San Diego, there is a hot mud bath place. Well, that hot mud is actually called alluvium clay. And it comes down from the center of, deep in the earth, it bubbles, and the clay just basically comes up in this hot mud place, Now, this guy started drying it off. All you got to do is let it dry and then bag it, more or less. It's 30% calcium and it's a neutral pH. That is a form of rock dust because the heat has melted the rocks, into this alluvium clay. Rock dust can be made in a lot of different ways. When Mount St. Helena did its thing and it dusted everything, that's a form of rock dust. There are rock dust that the glaciers produce when things are crushed. And there are lots of different mined ways to get rock dust out of the earth. They come in, that's the form you mine them. That's one reason why I often talk about the difference between when something is organic and when something is natural. And I'm not talking about food, because that is another story right there. And maybe I might talk about it during my Earth Day special. Because it's different, but in the gardening world realm, see, I have a service called Invisible Gardener. I do a natural spraying service, right? But I also say I do organic/natural spraying service. I make a super seaweed, which is not really totally organic because it's also natural, okay? And the reason is because I add rock dust to it. Rock dust is not organic, but natural. Get it? See? The easiest way to explain it. Organic kind of means organic carbon compounds from living things. But it's also confusing because you can have organic pesticides, which are not really organic. Malathion is not organic in the sense that, organic gardening, but it is an organic compound because it has carbon in it. So there. And I always thought organic gardening is very misleading because you can actually use, chemicals which have carbon in it, right? And so it should have been called natural gardening because that's the idea, right? But anyway, that's what we have to deal with now, organic and natural. So the rock dust comes, I get it from the different sources from around the world. I got about 10 different sources of rock dust. By the way, Mr. Engineer, I assume we're going on to another hour, or are we done here at the high hour there? Because you ain't said nothing to me yet. You're just sitting there. I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there, boy. But you better say something, because I hear what you people living in paradise. I tell you, man, I would love to move to paradise. He says, hang out in my backyard, listen to the wind. Okay, so he's not saying anything. That means he's outside listening to the wind, the trees. He's going to listen to the show later. So I'm just going to keep doing my thing until he tells me to El Stoppo, right? Stopperino. Like I said, this is called Outside My Body. Oh, yeah, I think we played it already. Yes, we did. I remember now. Okay, so the other another song that's called "Outside My Body" is from the Shifting Consciousness album, This next one, it's called Where Am I? I don't know. I guess. Okay, right, fine. This is track 6 from A Shift in Consciousness. By the way, you certainly do not want to do mushrooms, psilocybin mushrooms while you're listening to my music, okay? I'm telling you, do not do psilocybin mushrooms while you're listening to my music. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Anyway, so let's talk about, what you want to do is in your garden, you want to bring things from around your area that you can incorporate into making the compost. So you want to learn how to really, really, really make really good compost and do that on a regular basis. So when I lived in Homestead, I would go out to the countryside, I'd go to a chicken farm and get some, not only the chicken manure, but I would get a shelled, eggshells that they were all lying around, collect them. I would get the feathers, collect them, you know what I mean? So I would go to a horse place, and I would always ask them, are you spraying what are you doing to your animal? If you're injecting them with chemicals, that would be no good. If you're spraying, usually they spray your malathion or something for the flies, stuff like that, no good. I said, I can only get it if you're not doing any of that stuff. So you want to get it from the horse. I used to go out and get llama manure. I got some sheep manure. I told you about the rabbit manure, cow manure. I've gone to the zoo and gotten elephant manure. And zoos are cool. They don't do it anymore because they learned that they can make compost from it. Now the phone's ringing. Cool. I don't know if it's for me, if I should answer.
Call from Rim Lincher, John. Call from
Grimlinger,
John.
Anyway, that's what you get when you live at home.
John.
So in Homestead, I used to get all types of ideas. You want to get a variety of animal manure. That way you have a different type of bacterial microbial for each one of them, right? And then you want to try to get a nice blend of different mineral sources as you can. New Jersey green sand is one of my favorite because that's ancient sea life and it's really rich in trace minerals. And then, of course, you can get it from a different variety of other type of animal sources. Whatever animals they have, they'll have some different things that you can get from them. You also learn how to actually locate different sources of rock dust and different sources of trace minerals. One of the my sources of trace minerals is called C90. So it's not C as in Charles, but CEA 90. And that's a trace minerals from the sea and from a certain place, so it's nice and clean. But to be careful what you get from the ocean nowadays. If you set up a cycle where on a regular basis you have a compost that you're producing so that it goes out to your garden, so basically it's not like in spring you do this. Again, if you're covered with snow, you would be doing something different. If you are one of those places that are covered in snow, you do your compost production before the snow arrives. So that the snow actually helps you in the composting process. So when the spring comes around and everything thaws out, there's your compost ready. Whereas in the southern areas, you don't have the snow. You can actually compost almost year-round. It depends on how cold it gets, because if it gets really, really cold, the compost production slows down a little bit, right? And if it gets really cold, it stops. This song is called Where Am I? Okay, so if you do the raised bed, if you work in the soil or work in the ground, there's nothing really wrong with that, except that you have to learn not to rototill it. I prefer that you not disturb the soil, but instead learn how to add things to it, layer compost on it, add different types of amendment to it, let things grow on it, and you can plant right in it rather than turning everything over. It's wrong, in my opinion, to have it one of those machines. You go and you roll it to it, the whole place, turn everything over, let it all dry, rake it up. That's not the ideal scenario of sustainable gardening, growing. So if you have it in the soil, you learn how to, again, you rotate the property so it goes through a season that it does its thing by itself, and then you actually plant amongst there. There are lots of different ways to do it, whether you can do a hole, or you can do just a little area where you plant them. Ideally, it depends what you're growing too, because if you're growing fruit trees and you have a perfect setup to have, you don't have to have new fruit trees every year, so you learn how to let the soil around the fruit trees grow. It's anything with whether you have berries or, and if you're growing vegetables, and in vegetables you basically do little rows, so those areas are always used, or you have, but you don't dig it, you make a row that you add to it. So you can grow vegetables in that way, even though I would, if I had the place, I would actually do the vegetables in the raised bed and the things in the soil that can more like grow better in the soil without constant care of it, right? Because some things, your vegetables in the soil, you may have a harder time taking care of than your vegetables in your garden. Okay, so that was Where Am I? This next one, it's a little strange. If these are not strange enough. This is called A Message from Outer Space. And I do about four radio shows, once an audiobook show. So basically, I read my book out as part of the podcast. I do a lot of work with the blind, so, and plus people who drive, and a lot of people listen to my show, so they love the audiobook section of it. So, but I also do What's in Your Garden, a show called What's in Your Garden. Then I do another show Well, this one's called Don't Panic, It's Organic. I have another show for members only. It's the same show, basically, but I do a special for members on a regular basis. The members get all my shows in one place, like the Inner Gardening Podcast. They get that, too. They'll get this show. They get the audiobook show. It all gets piped through their podcast. And then I have a WTF show, which basically is done by an alien. His name is Krell. And so I did this. I asked Krell if he would just do a quick thing for my song. So this is called A Message from Outer Space. And yes, part of the Shift in Consciousness album. And that is track 3. So as I was saying, the key to having healthy garden is something you do year-round, okay? You have to work on the soil constantly, because the soil is constantly being attacked through a variety of toxins from the air and everything that we humans like to do to it. You get that under control. You get the sources of minerals coming in and the microbes coming in all the time, because the city water tends to destroy it. So I tend to add a garden filter to everything I do and filter out the water, because who wants the fluoride in your garden, which is meant to kill the bacteria? So another thing that you always should be doing is, and it's, most of the time people think about it in the spring, is, well, I'm going to get my plants, right? I'm going to go out and buy plants to grow. That's probably the worst thing you could do is go to a nursery and buy plants. You're not going to get very far with these things. They can always have some problem with one disease or another. Even if it says they're organically grown, I question it a little bit because, you know, just think of it, mass-produced vegetable plants, I don't think they would get really good quality care. On top of that, they're not going to put any, they're not going to be giving them healthy food. They're probably going to be, you know, organic. Well, see, the problem with stuff that they're supposed to be grown organically is that you, when you talk to the people, you go, well, how are you doing this? How are you growing these vegetable plants, right? Are you using compost or are you using what? What are you doing? So a good part of them, yeah, they make compost. Okay. And they use organic, some of them use organic fertilizers. A lot of them don't even use anything. Some of them say, well, my soil is so healthy, I'm not doing anything, I'm just growing in it, right? And those that use compost, I would say a small percentage are using rock dust. Maybe that's more and more are using it. Offhand, I would say that if they don't use rock dust, you're going to be trace mineral deficient. You need to ask them. Oh, I know one person who makes compost. He does it a biodynamic way. Biodynamically, you learn how to get your trace minerals from your plants. So that would be good. That's why it's good. So if you make compost, biodynamic compost, good for you. Most people don't even know how to make compost, let alone what biodynamic system is, or permaculture, or anything sustainable, or rock dust, or any of this stuff. And then you ask them. My last show. I'm going to do that. Okay. So, oh, how you like that? I got an error as soon as I turned the sound off. It can't handle it when you you're not paying attention to it. It's like,
my goodness, where have you gone? What have you done to me?
Okay, so the key here is to develop different sources of minerals and different sources of natural microbe for your garden on a regular long-term basis. The key here is also to find, you should start your own seed bank, start saving seeds. Because, you know, when you grow lettuce, for example, and you really like that lettuce, you should let the lettuce go to seed, one of them go to seed, and learn how to store and save your seeds. I have a seed bank of seeds, and if you store them right, they'll survive longer than me, okay? And so I'm waiting till I go into my third phase of my life, and I'll become a crazy farmer out in the woods. Don't go over there. That guy will eat you and compost you. Yeah. But seeds are very important. Genetics is very important. If you go and buy chemically grown vegetables and you plant them in your organic garden, you're going to have problems because those chemically grown vegetables are not healthy creatures, little people. Not healthy at all. And they've been, you know, as soon as you get off the chemicals, which the pesticides or whatever they were sprayed with, and even the, like I was saying, those are heirloom organic variety, you really should talk to the people who are growing. Well, what are you giving these little guys? What are you feeding them in their growing process? Are they healthy? Are the roots working? And you'll find that they're not really, some are, but some are just actually done by the same nurseries that are growing the chemical one. They're just putting them in potting soil, and then the varieties that they're growing, hopefully are good, you know, the heirloom varieties and stuff like that, but that's not always the case. So that means you should have a greenhouse. And the greenhouse basically is where you do your, one of the things you do is you start your baby plants, you know, to grow up. That means that's where you take the seeds, you plant, you start the seeds so they grow from the seeds. See? And so if you have a greenhouse, you can then buy seeds from certified heirloom places and lots of places on the internet now, from Seeds of Change to, all types of organic places on the market that you can, on the internet, you can order whatever organic and heirloom variety that you want of seeds. I'm finding with the internet I can get stuff from all over the world. I was looking at stuff in Russia. They were selling heirloom seeds that they've been growing for centuries, or in Africa that they're selling heirloom seeds that have been growing. One of the things about buying stuff from different parts of the world and growing them here is you have to learn to see if they grow in Africa, what conditions are there. You want to have something similar here. If you do something here that's completely different, that plant may not like it, or it might like it, or it might, because of the genetics, it might, you, and you, and if you know how to grow it, you might be able to get some really good production here. But I doubt it very much if you take a desert plant and put it in the tropics, it'll do well, or tropic plants and put it in a desert, it'll do well. But there are things that maybe it will do well most of the time if you take care of it properly, right? Or if you do it in a greenhouse. So seeds are important. The best seeds are, and the way it really works, so if you take something that was, like for example, I bought something from Africa. It's a type of greens. So I let one of them grow to seed. I let a couple of them grow to seeds. Put them, in the bag. You let them dry out. And by the following year, you can start them again. Now, what happens is that the first time they grow, they're going, oh, this is not Africa. I don't think so. And then they do their best they can to survive. Some won't make it, but some will survive because they'll adapt to that. Even that first year, they'll adapt and they'll survive to the point where they produce the seeds, right? And even then, they know if they're going to die, they produce the seeds. But their seeds are going to be more genetically friendly to this environment than the previous generation. And then if you let some of those go to seeds, their children will be more genetically happy with this environment than the previous one, and so on. So eventually you'll get a variety that will grow here wonderfully because you have grown it from here. See what I'm saying? So that's what I do with my seed bank, is I always label the year, maybe where they were started from, because sometimes you move around, but basically if you, ideally, like in Florida, I had a long range, a long time from the 70s until the 84 of growing seeds there. Not the 70s, actually, I started in the sixth grade. So 1956, I started collecting seeds from my backyard, and seeds that I got from Puerto Rico, and seeds that from different parts of the world. I'm lucky I had some friends who travel the world, and they come back, guess what we brought you? Some seeds. And sometimes they're labeled, sometimes they're not. Not labeled seeds. It's, you just have to figure out what they are in terms of when you get them, And I still save seeds all the time from things I grow locally here for my customers. I don't have a farm yet. I'm working on it. Okay, so seeds are important. So one of the things that you learn, that's why going being part of a club is really good, because you can share different types of plants with each other. Okay, so that's the ideal scenario too, is that you join this club, garden club. I started one in Miami, so everybody got together, all bring different things that were good at growing, and then we would just share the plants and or the seeds, right? Because you can't, so one lady grew peppers like crazy, another person was really, really good at tomatoes, another person did the lettuces and all the greens, and then one person had all the fruit trees, and everybody had fruit trees, but one person really did, if I remember correctly. So they all bring stuff together, roses, whatever, share them. That's one good way to do that. And it's the same thing with the compost production. You can't always be making, if you can't really make compost and don't have the ability to do that, great to know somebody in your club or in your neighborhood that makes the compost. Okay, so that one was called A Message from Outer Space. I'm not sure where, if I ran it through or not, but... So next week we have a 2-hour Earth Day special. So I'll be giving away 20 of my black and white version of my book and one of my color version of my book. Of course, everybody who gets the book will also get the lifetime membership, so they can access the other 20-something books that's up there in ebook format. As a lifetime member, you'll get the special podcast. It gets all my shows and everything right through one place. And you can always call the organic hotline and talk to me. And then on the 28th, remember, we have AmigoBob'sOrganics.com, the folks from AmigoBob'sOrganics.com coming up. I was expecting some other callers, but I guess not. So, you know, I've been doing radio shows for a long time, and I have a lot of people that we say, you know, call, and you know, they're going to call, but they don't call. It's pretty normal. What you have to do is you have to call them like 5 minutes before the show. Hey, man, you remember you're going to call me now, right? I know, you know, you all know who I'm talking about. So, one of the things that I can talk to you about in terms of getting your gardening together, because if you have the greenhouse, you'll start growing the vegetables in the greenhouse earlier than you normally plant. So down here, if I had a backyard and I was growing things, I'm growing in my greenhouse what I want to plant either next month or 2 months down the road. See what I'm saying? And so I can always, you know, you have the tomatoes started earlier already. They're growing in there since everything's nice and warm. They're growing fine, you know, and they start growing. They could be a foot tall before you plant them. It's the same thing with your little vegetable plants. You want them to grow in the greenhouse because you give them lights and the right amount of water. Let them expose them to the sun. If it's a heat, you heat it up. If it's going to get cold, you know, they have heat mats. And by the time the garden is ready to plant, you have little babies to grow up to plant rather than sticking the seeds in the ground. Putting seeds in the ground, it takes a special skill of a gardener to do that, okay? Because, you know, when they first come up, things are going to eat them. So you have to learn how to deal with that if you want to stick things in the ground. Certain things you probably don't do well transplanted unless you start them in trays and then plant them in the ground. That's what the greenhouse is really good for. You bypass a lot of problems that you would have if you try to grow things in the just by planting the seed in the ground. Start the seed in the greenhouse. You let the seed grow. You know, you take care of them really well. You feed them really well. You give them a good diet so that they're getting all the minerals they need. You know, a low nitrogen diet. High nitrogen inhibits the absorption of minerals. So you want to and you can bring them out and put them in the garden. The other aspect that you should be doing, and you know, it's something again you should be doing regularly, is your watering system. You need to look at your watering system. Ideally, you want to have a subsurface irrigation system set up rather than above surface irrigation. Keeping the water below ground is essential. It's only necessary above ground to if you're going to clean off your plants or wash off your vegetables, especially if you're doing seeds and you're going to have to water above ground, or especially when you transplant and put them in the garden, you want to water a little bit above ground. So what I do is when I do a subsurface irrigation system, I also put a valve that allows you to turn the subsurface off, turn on the overhead one, and the overhead basically are misters. Little drip system that will water lightly so you can get some moisture, on top to clean things up or to plant. Or you can always just use a hose and do the hose thing and do it regularly if you're dependable enough, and then you let them grow. And once they're growing, you turn on the subsurface watering, which makes the root systems come down to them. One of the problems that people do more than often is they overwater. Overwatering destroys the soil. One of the things you want to put in your garden is a garden filter so that the water is as clean as possible. Otherwise, you're going to have problems. The salts that are found in the water will always end up in the soil. You can tell by when you buy a potted plant, you pull it out, you see that white stuff inside there. That's the salts from the water, right? Okay? So Let's see, where is this? A message from outer space. So we have, so the next song I'm going to do, like I said, there's six tracks on this song. This one is called Healing Heart Music. And it's exactly what it means. It's meant to heal your heart, not, you know, love version heart. Singing bowl. Listening to this beat and it's going. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, baby. Oh yeah. Oh. Four 432 megahertz. Look it up. On your blood cells. You want to know how it helps your heart. Your heart. Talking to your heart here. Nepalese singing bowl. Nepalese. So just relax and let it work its way through your body. That's your heart, see? Thank you. Called Healing Heart Music. And then this is going to be the last of the of this particular album, and probably the last of the song for today. Let me see if I can find it. I know I had it over here. There you go. Come on up. Here you go. So that's the basis of it. Now, you want to learn how to use a refractometer. Refractometer measures the Brix level is a measurement of sugar in a plant. Usually is used for measurement of the juice, so orange juice or apple juice, or it's used in wine making, beer making. But being the weird kid that I am, I said, well, if you measure the juice, why don't we measure the flower or the leaf of the tree? And that tells us the Brix levels of the tree, not the juice. There's a big difference. But the higher the Brix level, the higher the mineral level. The higher the Brix level, the less the pest or diseases will attack you. Because if it's food for the bugs, it's not food for us. I make up all these things. Yes. Okay. This is the actual song called Shift in Consciousness. I think we played it already, didn't we? Wait a second. I think we actually did play that one already. Yes, sir. I like that. I have it down for here twice. Just notice that. I have it Shift in Consciousness track one and Shift in Consciousness track two. Boy. That's not good. Oh, no, I know what it is. Healing Hard Man is track two. That's the one we just played. It's in the album, Shift in Consciousness. So pretty much that's it for this, the songs. I always, it's not like it's it for the songs. I have over 400 songs that and I'm working on a variety of different ones. This is I have the April list here of songs that I've done, and there's lots of every month I do a different one entirely, and I've been getting emails for this one song, so I'm gonna go ahead and play it, and then we'll wrap it up. I should go the full 2 hours because they're being kind enough to let me play the second schedule, but it is a long stretch for anybody to sit through and listen through and go through. The only way I would do the 2 hours would be there's lots of different people online talking to me now so that we can continue this. Remember, the first week of next month, I'm doing Dances with Ants, How to Control Natural Ant Control for Everybody. Second week, we're doing Earth Fort. The guest would be Earth Fort. Remember, next week, we're doing the Earth Day Special. All kinds of stuff going on there. I'm giving away 20 of my black and white version and one of my color version of my book. Plus, everybody gets membership. And then, Meagle Bob's Organics on the 28th. They're going to be on. So this is a song that I think you'll like. This song is called Dreaming. Coming up next month, I'm also going to be doing a compost show. I think I'm not sure the name of it, but it's all about compost, right? How to make it. And I'm also going to be talking about compost tea, right? Not just compost tea, but earthworm casting tea, rock dust tea. Just teas in general. And these are not teas that you drink. They're teas for the plant. So next month, not only do we have the Dances with Ants, but we're also doing a compost day. So remember, if you have organic products or organic services, let me know. I'm glad to talk to you and try it out. I'm having some more people on who do wood tar, or vinegar, not tar, wood vinegar, right? They're made from biochar. So I'm going to be talking more about either bamboo wood vinegar or just wood vinegar. Tell you about that. I usually have a tomato day, so that I might be doing that. It's a little late. Ideally, you want to have tomato day, but it's it's been a really weird season now. Reverse in the spring, it's just still really cold. So probably, if nothing else comes along, I'll be doing a tomato day, talk about how to grow and plant tomatoes. We're also going to be having a rose day. We'll also be talking about fruit trees. That'll be coming up the following month. That'll be in June. We always have It's Alive Day, when we talk about the soil. And then I'm going to be explaining to you what GMOs are, or what GEOs are. Why it's not the GMO that we have to worry about, it's GEO. GMO is actually the main category. It has several different categories underneath it. So I hope this helps you figure out what to do in your garden. If you've never gardened before and you don't know what to do, ideally you want to join a garden club and have people help you to do it. That's why I'm here for, to help you to do the best gardening you can, grow the best food you can, all organically, no chemicals, right? So stop by invisiblegardener.com, check it out. Take a look at my book, take a look at my blog, do a weekly blog, do my music up there, put my artwork up there. And of course, I'll be here. So you can always email me at andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Those are whales, in case you figured it out. So if you've been listening to everything for the last hour or so, or almost 2 hours, I would not try to get up now. Just lay down there for a while and relax and breathe in. And if you start feeling your body again, just go with that. But don't just get up right away. Remember, you can send me email to actually your questions to my email. Don't leave them. Don't do what some people have done. Call me and leave messages, because I'm not going to call you back. I can't handle so many. Email is good. So thank you very much for listening to my show. I'll be on next week, every week here at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And the podcast will go out to everybody who's on the podcast list, and they'll be able to listen to the show with their favorite podcast device. Next week we have a 2-hour, well, just like this week, it's going to be an Earth Day special. So take care now. Remember, don't panic, it's organic. I like to tell people, make every day Earth Day, since it is kind of Earth Day, you know, right? Bye now. Okay, so I didn't really leave because the engineer didn't say anything. You know, I'd hate to have, like, silence and people listening to nothing. You know, it's like, what's going on over there? I don't know. It's quiet. So rather than just having it quiet, let me just try something completely different and see what happens. I haven't heard this at all. Oh, always here. Okay, so we're cool, right? Show's off the air. We done, boss? Not yet. Oh, so you want me to play another song? Yes? No? He's typing. Close as you wish. I can't close. Oh, yeah. Please go ahead and close. We're done, folks. Take care. Happy growing organically, of course. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.